Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade.
Lessons to be learned.
It's a slow fade. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise, the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray.
This is Wretched Radio.
It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid.
A slow fade when you give yourself away. People don't crumble in a day. Deception and sin takes time. It tricks, it deceives, and it giggles when the feat of failure has been accomplished for the believer, especially a high-profile believer. No doubt you've heard Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. Who would have ever thunk? Apparently had a slow fade. And he gave himself away. And many of us are dismayed. Many people are still reeling. I can't tell you the number of emails I've seen where people, men and women, saying they have shed tears over this. This has been a blow to the reputation of Jesus Christ. It has been very unsettling for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians. And as we see the dust perhaps begin to settle, we do well to see what we can learn from this fall without committing the sin of gossip or tale-bearing or throwing a man and his family underneath a bus unnecessarily, which I think is where we'd like to begin today with part two of our conversation about Stephen J. Lawson. But please note, this is a big, big conversation. There's an awful lot to discuss. And if you feel like I'm not getting to what needs to be discussed, well, perhaps I would ask for a little bit of patience. We're trying to unpackage this without sinning in an orderly kind of way. So thank you for your patience in letting us present this step by step. And if we do not get to your step, send an email to idea@wretched.org. This sound right here? That's a lot of emails that have already been sent in. And we're going to share these emails and work through them. And we're going to work through them together with, I hope, grace and patience, because I don't think we've ever dealt with one quite like this. This one's different. And just like every scenario, there are nuances, but this one is, it's got a lot of them. Because we're not dealing with somebody who has historically been a scoundrel. We're dealing with somebody we all respected a great deal, and all of a sudden, boing, Acme frying pan to the head. What happened here? And so we're going to try to take it step by step. And I do believe, and this isn't easy for me, just so you know, time is needed. I know, in fact, I've received some emails from people. They're either asking or stating, Steve, a false teacher. And I think that's a totally valid question to ask when you consider what qualifies a man for being a false teacher. And they rightly point out it isn't doctrine alone. Perhaps you disagreed with Steve theologically, but on a this or that or a small thing. But overall, I think we would have to say the dude's theology was bang on. Certainly, well above the line of small O orthodoxy, but there's another category that can mark a man as being a false teacher, and that is life. And we are given three markers inside of the epistles, both Jude and 2 Peter, that identify those marks. One of them is sexual sin. That's a big deal. Another one is a love of money. A third is that there is a desire for power and to control people. And so those things can mark an individual a false teacher. So we could ask the question, is Steve a false teacher? And I think the answer at the moment is we would have to wait and see. We'd have to wait and see. What happens between Steve and Trinity Bible Church in Dallas? We've got to let the church take the lead on this. Otherwise, we're entertainment tonight, and we're just sitting around with those gossip shows. You know, then we're Gutfeld, and we're just talking about something. It's like, no, not in Christendom. Not with biblical people. We got to let the local church lead on this. And so if you've been perhaps wanting details, we're going to have to wait for Trinity. If you'd like to know what Steve's response is, how this went down, we got to wait for Trinity. And they're going to be the ones who help us to understand this a little bit. And so I think time is simply needed. Here, another question that people are asking. And look, I think they're valid questions. I do believe all of us, myself included, we need to be perhaps a little slower than usual because of this situation is so distinct. Let's just say you're not a fan of Steve Lawson. You've never particularly cared for his style of preaching. He wasn't your cup of tea. Fair enough. Imagine for a second it's somebody who was your cup of tea. I don't want to say any of those guys' names because I don't want to besmirch. But imagine that this happened with them. You'd be like, what just happened here? And you would be asking the question, are we dealing with somebody here who is a false teacher? That's a question that I think is valid. Was he a false convert? And I think the answer to that question needs to be time. Got to see how the man responds. We have to. I believe it is totally valid to ask those questions, but I just personally don't think that we're going to have the answers until there's further disclosure. And we might not ever receive that because the local church, they take the lead. We're following, they take the lead. And so we're just going to have to wait and see how Steve does. And that is why I think at the moment, you can argue, and that's fine, and you can send those emails to idea@wretched.org. What we currently have, and this is difficult for us because it might change. So this isn't the definitive end-all word, as if I could make such a thing, as if I hold those keys. But at the moment, it seems like we've got a fallen brother. Now, could that change? It sure could, as more information is disclosed. But until that time, that's where I'm at. And please note, if you're thinking, that we are perhaps going softer on Steve than we have on others. I will tell you, that might be. I can't deny that. I know Steve. Well, I'm friends with Steve. So it could be. I think, though, that if you think I'm being inconsistent, that is possible. I admit that. But I hope at least you might appreciate that I am honoring our friendship. He's a friend. And he sinned grievously. Let's make no mistake about this. This is deep, profound, painful stuff that we're dealing with. But nevertheless, he's a friend. And so until I would have some other reason, it's 1 Corinthians 13, I think verse 7, that we hope all things, that we want all things. And am I perhaps giving special treatment to a friend? Yeah, perhaps. And I hope rather than being agitated by that, you might say, well, at least he's being faithful to a friend. We will continue our conversation about Stephen J. Lawson, trying to learn without gossiping, crossing these lines. This is not easy business that we're doing, to try for our own sakes, the health of our families and local churches. How does a slow fade happen? Next on Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or, of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Remember how the Apostle Paul's gratitude for the Philippian church just overflowed in his prayers? Well, that's exactly how we feel about our gospel partners. You're not just supporters of this ministry, you're the heartbeat of it. It's because of you that we're able to reach millions with the gospel and equip believers all over the world. And now we're on the brink of something extraordinary. In just a few short weeks, we're launching our most ambitious initiative ever, a brand new platform designed to resource and equip local churches like never before. And it's only possible because of partners like you. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider joining us in this mission? Your support isn't just appreciated, it is transformative. Together, we can strengthen local churches, equip believers, and spread the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can find out more about becoming a gospel partner right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful: ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland, a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Lessons to be learned.
It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day.
Ouch.
Families never crumble in a day.
Is a slow fade.
Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, apparently experiencing a slow fade. Please note, as we discuss this, I'm trying to find a balance of trying to learn what we can learn without speaking authoritatively on Steve's heart, because, hey, guess what? I don't know his heart. And so we're trying to find that line. I hope we try to find that line about whomever we are speaking, trying to find follow some rules of discernment. And I will say this. If you have listened to this program longer than nobody listens to this program much. The point is, if you've thought that I've had some inconsistencies, I would be really arrogant to say, not me, I always do this right. These things, they can be complicated. They can be difficult. And the one thing that we don't want to have happen from what Steve Lawson has caused to all of us to converse about is that we get mad at each other. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? As we try to sort out a mess, that we end up getting fractured even more than we seem to be these days. So we will endeavor to be consistent, do our best, not gossip, try to figure this out biblically, and learn as much as we can without imputing it to Steve Lawson's heart. There was an article that was written by Pastor Steve Green. Unless Don Green sings really well. I was talking about Don Green. He's up in Ohio. I believe he's a master's grad. I went and looked at his CV. Dude is smart. He's got like two masters. I think he was a lawyer first. And then he got like two masters, graduated with honors and a PhD. Just dude smart. But he's also pastoral. And he wrote, I thought, as sensitively and thoughtfully as it can be done. He wrote this, I briefly debated whether to make this post. And that's good. We should all do that. I think that's a John Newton rule of discernment. You just take a second, go, okay, hold on a second. Is this a good idea? And consult with others if necessary. I briefly debated whether to make this post, but since I think it may help the people of God process the news, I now proceed. He's going to try to answer the question, how does a prominent Bible teacher do that? How could he preach the word by outward appearances with power in the midst of such sin and compromise? And Don admits it's a difficult question and one that is not easy to answer to the satisfaction of those who feel betrayed and hurt. So without much expansion, let me offer you five principles to consider. Number one, exercising a spiritual gift is not the same as growing in sanctification. Oof. You can be preaching fire, but that doesn't mean that you're growing in sanctification. This is an issue that I actually believe right now, especially in our conservative circles, is the issue of the day, the disconnect. from our preaching of information to the head, making its way to the totality of the individual. I hesitate to say heart because that comes with Valentine's in mind. It sounds romantic. But the heart, the term that the Bible uses, I think 590 times. It's the inner person. It's the soul. It's who you are. It's what makes you, you. That there's a disconnect between, okay, I got it. I've got the preaching. I understand the theology. I understand now the second declension, aorist tense of the vocative case for the... But is it hitting your heart? And that means more than just affections and emotions. It means your will. It means your hands. It means your feet. It means your eyes and ears. That's what preaching needs to do. And I actually think... I think that's the need of our day. That is the need of our day. Y'all, we're talking about a relationship with the living God here. And one thing has been made, well, there's been many things, but one thing has been made so clear in preaching through the Gospel of Matthew at alpharetabiblechurch.org. God wants our hearts. He wants the totality of us. He doesn't just want our heads. He doesn't just... Please note, I'm not mocking this. I love theology. But he doesn't just want theological boxes checked, even when they're the right boxes. And now you could say, well, the scribes and Pharisees, their boxes were a dog's breakfast. They weren't right about anything. And so he was angry at them. Yeah, but even if your boxes are right, if it isn't affecting us, you know, okay, for instance, it's just the movement of what you know into how it's expressed. That's all of our goal. That should be all of our goal. And I think that what we are currently experiencing today in evangelical circles, we have perhaps overcorrected, moving from squish bum, milquetoast, nothing, life hack preaching to sermons that are very smart. But I would ask you, do they make it to the heart? Because there can be a disconnect. And maybe that was Steve's case. I don't know, but it could be mine. Could be yours. And that means it's work. That means listening to preaching, reading the Bible. It requires an effort to shove it down from your head. Remember, knowledge puffs up. It does. And that's not about other people. That's about you and me. So if you study a lot, read theology, that's awesome. It really is awesome. But please don't stop there, because that theology should make its way into sanctification. And that's why Don Green rightly states, exercising a spiritual gift is not the same as growing in sanctification. Again, I want to be so careful about this. And you could be correct in your assessment that I'm trying to be a little bit softer with Steve than others. I can't deny that. It might be. I'm not trying to. But there must have been some sort of disconnect there for Steve. Because with all that, if you were feeling and living all that he had been preaching, this wouldn't have happened. But it did. So without trying to judge, but there had to be some sort of a disconnect. And while we don't know that for sure about Steve, what we could do is ask it about ourselves. Number two, this is Don Green. Exercising a spiritual gift is not the same as fearing God. What is Proverbs 16:6 say? By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. I think about Psalm 103 that talks about God's goodness that we might fear him. We want to, this balance is so precarious because you can always be preaching fear of the Lord. That's imbalanced. But you run over to the other ditch, the gooey, ooey, squishy love of Jesus. Isn't it wonderfully warm? It's just a big hug. Okay, hold on. Both are ditches. We do not want to reject one for the other. We've got to find that balance of learning to love the Lord more while still fearing him. Can't speak about Steve, but I can ask it about myself. Have I become too casual with the Lord? Number three, you can fool all of the people some of the time. I do not fault those who were close to Steve Lawson for not seeing this sooner. Their trust was broken. Number four, observation. Scripture must be joined with faith and obedience. I think that's related to the aforementioned observation from Don. It's got to be connected. I think it's safe to say there was a disconnect somewhere in Steve's life. Somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but somewhere. I don't know for sure, but what I can do is ask that about myself, and together we can ask that of one another so that you or I do not experience a slow fade. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. We start with London's historic Trafalgar Square, which has unveiled its latest artistic addition, a sculpture that features plaster casts of faces atop a pedestal that once honored Christian missionaries. The creator says the piece draws inspiration from Aztec skull racks, which replace the previous tributes to the gospel-spreading efforts. Yeah, well, you know, it makes you wonder what Lord Nelson, the square's namesake, would think of this rather unorthodox homage to his naval victory. And we move from that to the governor of Delaware, John Carney, has vetoed a bill that would have legalized assisted suicide in the state. The measure had squeaked through both legislative chambers by the slimmest of margins, a single vote. Governor Carney, citing his deeply seated convictions, stated that he remained fundamentally and morally opposed to enabling the taking of one's own life, even under difficult circumstances. Well, at least there's one governor that recognizes that true compassion involves walking alongside those who suffer, not ushering them straight out the door. And in a display of theological gymnastics, a self-proclaimed female pastor has written the gospel to make it all about abortion. During what she dubbed as, quote, Rose Sunday, this twister of scripture suggested that Jesus would be escorting women to abortion clinics if he were alive today. Well, newsflash, he is alive today in the hearts of every single person who follows him, and he's not escorting them to abortion clinics. You know, I know this is not the same world we lived in 10, even 5 years ago, but the mental contortions that it takes to transform "let the little children come" to "blessed are those who end their pregnancies" is absolutely tragic. Reports have emerged that Chicago Public Schools instructed teachers to give passing grades to migrant students regardless of their academic performance or their proficiency with the English language. Educators were apparently told to hand out C's across the board, even to students who couldn't understand a word of instruction. That's taking No Child Left Behind to entirely new heights. And when these students discover that life outside the classroom doesn't really operate on that generous grading curve, they're going to be in for a rude awakening. That's a way to prepare kids for the future, isn't it? Well, in a move that is going to ruffle feathers out there far and wide, Sweetbriar College, which is located in Virginia, has officially declared that it will no longer accept male applicants. They're determined to keep the women in women's college, even if it means swimming against the tide of culture. That has been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Philemon was a Christian and fellow worker with Paul. His slave, named Onesimus, had stolen from him and run away. By God's providence, Onesimus met Paul and became a Christian. Paul sent Onesimus back with this letter, urging Philemon to forgive Onesimus and treat him as a brother in Christ. This letter is a grand example of the gospel in action. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the always perfect Wretched Radio. Wow. Couldn't deliver that without smirking. A little bit, at least. These subjects that we are tackling these days, some of them new. We're living in a brave new world. And unfortunately, we're even being confronted with stuff inside of the church that's like, and I do not claim to know everything about everything. I tend to think that. I'll be confessional with you. That is my knee-jerk response. But reality tells me otherwise. So does the Bible. And by the way, so do my friends, which is why, once again, we need to be in a better community than online. We need to be in a better community than TV shows, radio programs, podcasts, YouTube videos. All can be a blessing to the body. But it ain't nothing like the local church. If we learn anything from the Steve Lawson fall, it should be the importance of the local church. It's the importance of the local church. It's our safe place. This is one more reason. It is the transparency that only a local church brings, and which actually segues us into another subject regarding Steve Lawson. Were there practical things that he/we should have been doing? And I think the answer to that is yes. There's no question about that. And even as I'll offer a few suggestions toward that end, please note, there is no program, manual, handbook, safety instructions that will keep a man from doing what Steve did. This is a heart issue. But the Bible also instructs us, don't be dumb, be wise. Surround yourself with people. You do need to be an open book with somebody. You need that. You need that. Again, it's not going to fix it. And this is totally coming from the heart. Isn't that what Jesus tells us? What comes out of your mouth is what is down in your you, not just your heart organ. What's in you comes out of you. If you act a certain way, if I act and behave a certain way, because that's in there someplace, and I struggle to know it because sin is deceptive and I need you. And so one thing that I would suggest is that if you, and by the way, I do believe there needs to be a distinction between, not a great distinction because there is some overlap, between a local pastor and somebody who's on the road. And preaching, or you're even YouTubing for that matter. I think there's a bit of a difference here. Because here's what I think is a challenge. What entity exists to keep tabs on an evangelist or on a speaker at a conference? Who's gleaned this? And the answer is, well, probably nobody, but it should be the local church. And so if there is an evangelist or there's a preacher or teacher at a conference or somebody that you're thinking about buying their book, if they are not a member of a local church, I would suggest you consider going to a different conference. That's all. Just suggest that. Doesn't mean that they're up to shenanigans. But if a man is detached from the accountability of a local church, well, that man is in more danger. And it indicates perhaps, we're speaking in general terms, I'm not talking about Steve, a pride that it's not needed. Yeah, everybody else needs to be in a local church. I don't. Hey, we don't want to be A.W. Pink. We don't want to be writing fire from our cabin set aside from the village without being a member of the local church because, well, I already know all these things, or there's not a good enough church, or those people there really get up my nose. You got to be in a local church. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your level is. I don't care what your academic credentials are. You got to be in a local church. And right now, there's not an entity out there that gleans guys publishing. Who's keeping tabs on this fellow? And the answer has to be the local church. Has to be. And I believe that individual needs to be an open book to somebody. And by the way, this goes for pastors and local churches. I've thought this through a little bit. There's something about the cell phone that seems intensely personal. Okay. So for instance, my wife and Well, pretty much everybody here at the office has access to my calendar. I just learned how to put stuff on the calendar, which is pretty cool. But I shouldn't be the only one that has access to my calendar. There's got to be somebody. And I think we need to sort it. And I think that everybody who's in ministry, pastoral, you're an elder, you're a deacon, you're an evangelist, you're a YouTuber, whatever you are, who has access to everything in your life. I understand the cell phone thing. It's a strange beast, the cell phone. Isn't it amazing? I like to think I'm not, well, I know I'm not technologically savvy, but I like to think that I, you know, the cell phone, I could take it or leave it. But even when my wife takes my cell phone just to look something up, there's a little something inside of me that goes, hey, that's my cell phone. Are you done? Are you going to give it back? I need it back in my pocket because I just don't feel like I can leave the house without my Nook. There's something about, I get it. But if somebody can't look into your phone, can't look into your calendar, and the highlights of my ministry life is when one day Matt goes, hey, Todd, don't you have a doctor's appointment in about an hour? Huh? Well, thank you, darling, because he can see my calendar. And that's good. It's good to have people know where you are. Could you, for instance, in ministry, have somebody, the tracker thing on your phone? Your spouse can track you, know where you are all the time. Now, it's not perfect, but it indicates there's nothing going on here. And I think that everybody in ministry needs to commit to some, no, they need to commit to a deep level of transparency with somebody. And it could be the wife, it could be fellow elders, but somebody has to be able to know what's going on. And I understand with the cell phone, I don't think that you should be able to walk up to a speaker at a conference and say, I'd like to see your cell phone. You got stuff in there. You know, you got whatever that you don't want people to see. There's some discretion I think that we can honor, and there's some boundaries. But somebody better. And if there's nobody, for instance, could you walk up to a speaker at a conference and say, hey, I'm curious, who holds you accountable? If that speaker flies off the handle, woo, something's weird. Because the attitude should be, oh, thank you for asking, because I do not want to experience a slow fade. So let me tell you who has access to my stuff. Let me tell you who can see. Let me tell you who I travel with. There's another practical thing that people can do. Travel with somebody. Don't travel alone. That's a bad idea. Now, doesn't fix the heart. I get that. We're talking about practical issues here. And we're ultimately talking about how we can have some semblance of accountability here. And I would say that there's, for instance, could there be a website? And it's like, okay, I'm in ministry. I vow that I'm going to do these certain things. Yeah, I guess. Is that really going to be effective? It's sort of, by the way, it's sort of like our accountability partners. You can lie to your accountability partner. Are you with your accountability partner? Yeah, this week I was looking at porn. This week I was doing, yeah, I feel really bad about it. And off you go. It's not real accountability. There needs to be real accountability. And that's why I think even pastors in the church, even whatever their church government structure is, first among equals, he's the senior, whatever it is, there needs to be some accountability there. And if you're hiding something, needs to be found out real quick. And that way, perhaps, maybe going forward, these are some things that we should start doing and even start, dare I say, expecting, I might even use the word demanding from people that we follow, that we love, that if we have the opportunity to say, look, we've been experiencing such an epidemic of fallen guys lately. I want to make sure that you're not going to be one of them. And I don't think any of us should be offended by that. And I would even go this far. I'll go this far. I don't know your heart, but if you're hearing this and you're going, oh, come on, pal. What do you want? You want people to get into my mess about? I don't need, I would say you're the one who needs it the most. You're because it's a heart issue that we have some transparency among those who wish to reach a greater population and even with the local pastor. So I would ask you, if you're a pastor, if you're an elder or deacon, who is it? Who is it? Who can see it all? And if somebody came up to you and said, you know I have access to your website, but I'm doing a deep dive. You're going to be okay with that. These are practical things we can and frankly must start doing. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul expressed profound gratitude for their support. In just a few short weeks, we'll be launching the most ambitious initiative in our ministry's history, a groundbreaking platform designed to resource and equip local churches more effectively than ever before. To every gospel partner listening right now, your impact reaches far beyond what you might imagine. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're right here with us, advancing God's kingdom every single day. Stay tuned for the big reveal of our new platform and let us continue this incredible journey together. And if you want to be an even bigger part of this exciting mission, then let me point you to wretched.org/donate, where you can learn how to become a gospel partner right now. And together we'll be empowering churches and changing lives through the transformative power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today, wretched.org/donate.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible. And while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word from Jimmy. And I don't know why I'm talking like this. This is Wretched Radio. Sup?
Sup. How are you?
Are you sup? I know you want to say something. Don't sup me. Supping you.
Okay. All right. No, I'm just, you know, I've taken all this in for the last couple of days or longer than that. But, you know, what really stands out to me in your conversation here is when you admit it to the possibility of going a little bit easier on someone who you consider a friend.
Sure.
And the consistency there. But what just, I guess, runs through my mind is where we are in this certain situation this particular situation, shouldn't we all have that hopeful spirit?
Yeah, we don't want Steve.
Whether he's a personal friend or not,
that's
we should
right.
still be hopeful here.
That and this can be, and I grant you, this is a challenge. We should have that feeling about any false teacher. You want them to repent. That does not mean you cannot decry them. It doesn't mean that there can't be table tipping when it comes to false teachers. But this isn't an either or scenario. I do think that we should be... We don't want anybody to go to hell. And I got to tell you, if Dante is right and there are rings, and frankly, I think there are, because I think there are degrees of hell just as there are degrees of heaven, that the false teacher, first ring, whatever the worst ring is, I think false teachers are going to be in there. God hates being misrepresented. He hates it when his children are bilked in his name. So it should be that our hearts really are bent toward that. And honestly, that's not always easy to do because we're simultaneously called to hope all things. Even as we identify some raging heretic causing damage, we should have righteous indignation and we should speak out. And sometimes we can speak out quite fiercely about that, but I don't want him to die and go to hell. So that's the balance. That's the balance. And if you think I've missed the balance, please, by all means, send it to idea@wretched.org along with anything else. It is currently the plan. I've got a slew of emails with so many great thoughts and so many great questions. I think we're going to try to dive into those in subsequent programs because it's a lot. And I wish that this were a subject that were neat and tidy and lines could be drawn and we close the book and we move on. That's that. I just don't think it's that neat. I don't think it's that tidy. And if nothing else, along the way, what I would like to do is be able to grow from it, do better, because maybe, oh, I will tell you, it's not a maybe, this has happened. Because some people I've seen, you know, comments on YouTube stuff and even sent to idea@wretched.org about my treatment of Steve versus. And even though I feel pretty good about defending myself and saying, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, and we don't talk, maybe you can catch me on this, but I don't think we've talked about any sexual scandals of anybody. That I can, maybe if it was like a big deal, we talked about it, but it wasn't. We're spending days with Steve Lawson on this subject. We're spending days on this. So this is already an exception, and I might use that to defend myself in saying that, no, I treat everybody pretty much the same. Well, I'm going to take some time to analyze and see if I do. And the next time something comes up where we're talking about a false teacher, I'm going to just take a little time and just make sure I check my heart. Because there's another aspect of this, too. And please don't think for a moment that because you maybe don't have a influencers platform where you don't have a YouTube page or a lot of people that follow your stuff, don't think for a second that family members might not see it. You know, Steve's got a wife and kids. Steve's got a wife, kids, and grandkids. And we just got to be mindful of that. That's all. And I think there are things that we can learn through this and grow through this. Josh Williamson posted something that I think is helpful. Josh Williamson, he's an evangelist. That is, he's in a church where he's a called evangelist. He's awesome. Why we don't have more churches with like an evangelist staff. I got to tell you, I'm so excited about Alpharetta Bible Church. We've got at least, four guys that are just consistently hitting the streets in Alpharetta and then going down to starting at Georgia State. They go to Georgia State a lot. I don't know if I shared this with you, but they're just passing out hundreds of tracts and just conversations. I'm telling you, Daddy-O, the university campus is where it's at. We got to get there. That's where the kids are willing to engage these days. It's different. The vibe is different on campus. Yeah, you're going to have some snarky kids. You're going to have some atheists. You're going to have some people who have, you know, they've got sin going on and then you just convict them and they do not like it's going to happen. But I believe that's the exception and not the rule. We got to be on the campuses. Josh Williamson is one of those who does three killers of evangelists. Number one, gold. He's right. The desire for money. It can take over anybody. This is maybe an example of how deceitful our hearts are. We've been married for almost 34 years. So we've had this conversation, I don't know, like 2-3 times. Mrs. Friel and I would say, all right, just, and we were doing it not for the exercise of, well, how big would our yacht be? But it's like, okay, if we won the lottery, which we can't because we don't play it, what would we do? How would it change us? And it wasn't about, well, I would buy this and then we'd change that and then we'd build a house. It was, how might it change us spiritually? What would the new temptations be? And the answer that we came up with is, I don't think I want to win the lottery. Whoa, money can do stuff to you. Now, I personally have met, seen, and know some Christians. You would never know that they had a big bank account. You would never know it. You just wouldn't guess. They've been able to manage it. But I bet if you asked them and said, are there ever any temptations? They'd say, oh, yeah, because gold is sneaky. Gold is tricky. And I don't think any of us can quite know what the desire for money or having riches can do. And that is why those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's number one fall. Number two, glory. If you're an evangelist and people start attaboying you and start praising you, look out. Look out. And that's going to happen to anybody who really does virtually anything that's in the front of the classroom, that's in the pulpit, certainly, is at a major conference. And an evangelist, that can go to an evangelist's head. It can go to anybody's head. We got to guard for that. And so we say, all right, well, that's fascinating. What do we do with that? Somebody's got to be in your mess, brother. Somebody's got to be in there. Somebody's got to be able to go, dude, you're talking about yourself in the first person. I think we maybe need to just take a little look and see what's going on here. We need each other for this. And finally, girls, I didn't know Josh Williamson was a Southern Baptist, but there you have it. You got gold, you got glory, you got girls. And that men will be men. And they need safeguards. Please note again, the safeguards aren't all they need. That's just wisdom. It's a heart issue. So I do believe, interestingly, we're closing today the same place we closed yesterday. Do you keep hearing a theme in these conversations? Or does something keep coming to mind for you that you go, oh, there's that. Now that would fix it. That would help. No, that would be the place to do that. It's the local church. It's the local church. Steve preached in local churches. Steve wasn't involved in his local church. He was preaching there on Sunday. But he was out on the road doing ministry. And I think that we can learn of the dangers of that. And I think that there are practical things that we should all take a look at right now. And I do believe being an open book, being transparent to somebody is crucial. But that's not going to put an end to it, because there's always a way to get around stuff. You get a flip phone, you get a different phone, you get a different line, whatever. You get a different credit card, whatever, and you figure out a way to be a lout. It's a heart issue. And I keep coming back to the deceitfulness of sin and the need for each and every one of us to learn not just about the Steve Lawson fall, but might I fall too? And if that sounds like a nightmare to you, because it is, your safest place is your local church. Idea@wretched.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.